Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott, and good gardening to you. And, oh, it's nice to see plants out there beyond just naked branches and things like that. Whether outside or inside, of course, you're not going to have naked stuff inside, but if you have any success stories or you want to share those with us, questions, concerns, comments, or some confusion about who knows what, any wanting recommendations or action to be taken, simply give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And let me share what I saw this morning with my good gardening stroll. And that is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. And then after the good gardening stroll, that's when we will discuss what's going on in your landscape or with your house plants. So this is your show, and I certainly enjoy hearing about your plants. And today's producer is Drew, and a very important player in the game. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. If you'd like for me to come to your home, your plant world, and walk around and give you a consultation on what's going on, what changes need to be made, or what things should be done to make them a little bit better, you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, there's my email address and phone number where you can contact me. Then we'll set up a time and a date when I can come to your home. Today, I started out, let's see, where did I want to go? I never really know ahead of time, but the other day I passed this particular park, and it's at the corner of Arsenal, Sublette, and January, and that's where Sublette Park sits. It's a combination of sports and relaxation. Tennis courts, ball fields, open lawn areas, strolling pathways that are paved. It's just a nice place to just kind of stroll around. The playgrounds, nice playground set there. City's really done a good job with the new playgrounds and all the parks. It's just kind of amazing. And the slope off one of the sidewalks at Sublette and Odell, really steep, but it makes it so it's kind of unique and everything. Lots of bird activity this morning. It was really kind of surprising to see that many birds, but this is the time of year when they are getting ready to start nesting. And the tree collection is really everything from upright, narrow hornbeams to young oak trees to mature pines. Squirrels were running all over the place, up and down the trees and across the branches and everything else. And there was and there was panoramic view for the new, there's some newer homes in this area. And they back up to the, have a great view of the park. And there was numerous dog walkers out and joggers, but they weren't cutting through the park at all. They were walking on the sidewalk around the park. And it was kind of I wonder why they just didn't walk through the park, but who knows? Everybody's got their own things. Well, it's time to go on this chilly morning and the gray skies. So hopefully, well, I think Scott just said it was going to be low tonight. It's going to be 32. I thought it was going to be a little bit cooler this morning than it was, but it really wasn't too bad. Now, on the way down to the station from Sublette Park, the trees that I noticed that were in bloom were the flowering pears, the Quanzon cherry trees, the red maples. No, not the red maples, the silver maples, the Star and Saucer Magnolias. They were a welcoming sight for me to see all these different things blooming. So if you do have any questions or concern, you can give us a call at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We've got some phone lines open, but we're going to start the day with Renee. Hi, Renee.
Hi, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Good. I just had a question. I am new, kind of at the landscaping part of, you know, fixing up my home. And I have a limelight hydrangea, and it needs to be pruned. And I understand that you're supposed to prune that during the springtime, and I'm wondering when I can do that.
How long have you had it?
Just for two seasons.
So why, you want to just prune off the spent flowers from last year? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Well, that, and it's a tree. It's a, it's not a bush that's on the ground, so it has a stalk, and I want to just make sure that the bush, the rounded part on the upper part, stays nice and round.
I wouldn't, you know, with it that young, I would say minimize the pruning other than getting rid of the spent flowers. Give it another year or two to get what better established, and then you can go ahead and worry about the shape. But that what you're going to do or what you're doing is maximizing the amount of foliage that's going to be on it, and that foliage is really what makes the food that helps the tree get, or the hydrangea tree get established. Now, this is truly not a tree. It is actually just a hydrangea that's been pruned to look like a tree.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. You don't really need to know that, but that's, you know, what the situation is. So it's been grafted onto the trunk. So it's really the bush that you're seeing at the top is really the bush. And then it's been, like I said, grafted to a trunk.
Okay. Okay, well, very well. I'll just hold off for a little bit. I'm pruning that and just clip off the buds from maybe last year.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. I've got a couple of old boxwoods that the top middle has died, it looks like. It's green around the edges, but in the middle, it turned gray. The foliage is still hanging on it. So I don't know if that's freeze damage or what. But on an older one, would it make sense to prune it way back and would everything regrow, or is it pretty much a goner?
You know, to be honest with you, if you prune it back too far, you're getting past the point where there's any kind of functional buds left at all to produce any kind of new growth. But if you, what you can do is go ahead and prune out the dead stuff and just see what happens. But for the most part, don't anticipate or expect too much infill in those areas. So rather than just rushing out and getting rid of this and getting some new ones, give it one more year and just for your own sake. And because it sounds like you've had it quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
So if it doesn't regrow the middle, it's pretty much a goner or will be.
Yeah, from an aesthetic standpoint, more so than anything else. I mean, it could stay viable from on the perimeter and everything else, but it's just not going to. Okay. It's not going to infill like it ever was.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, maybe I'll plan on replacing them.
Okay. So,
okay, thank you.
Sure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, go ahead and give us a call, and we'll talk about it on air. So one thing, as you've noticed yourself, I'm sure, driving around, all the bulbs and everything, the tulips don't seem to be out as much as the daffodils, but the daffodils, they can certainly be, you know, fertilized, and that will help the longevity factor of them. They have a better longevity factor than the tulips. Tulips you're going to get about 2 years or so out of, but with the daffodils, you're going to get about 6 or 7 years. But the fertilizing just keeps them vibrant and keeps them a little bit more vigorous. And hopefully you planted them in an area that's well-drained. And because if not, then they're not going to, you know, give you more than probably 2 years as opposed to multiple years beyond that. So now let's head over to Ron's yard. Hi, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a couple gardening questions. Why do bulbs garden, back up, onion bulbs not do as good as slits?
Just the fact that our soils and everything are just not the best.
You don't ever get large onion bulbs, correct?
For the most part, no.
Yeah, if you want them, you got to put slits. All right. Next question. I know this is almost impossible, but is there any way to get rid of the henbeck?
That is very vigorous, and the problem is you just have to stay on top of it for a couple years in a row, because the whole time it's blooming, it's dropping seeds, and then those seeds are not being impacted by any kind of herbicide that you would use. And the henbit is very tough, very durable, and like I said, it flowers a lot, and all those flowers are producing seeds, and they just drop on the ground. And a pre-emergent would be certainly something to consider. That will help get it under control. But even then, it's going to take a couple years of putting the pre-emergent down.
I've been fighting it for years. Can I have one more question?
Sure.
In the fall, I usually plant turnips for a cover crop. Is there anything better than turnips?
If you've had great success with it, I'd say no.
Okay, yeah, I broadcast them so the turnip bulbs don't really get too big because
right.
They're too close, and it's mostly the greens. So. That's as good as anything then, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're happy with it, there's some cool season vegetables if you just want greenery, like kale and things along that line, that you could use just to give you a different texture and a little bit different color.
Oh, turnips do great. I get them sometimes 2 foot high if we get to rain. So.
Wow.
I got good ground. I've been working it for 20 years.
So. Oh.
But they don't get no bulbs. You know, I don't put them in rows. That way they don't get big.
Right. So you're just doing it for the aesthetics.
Yeah, just for the keep the weeds down in the fall. You know, after the onions and broccoli and
right.
down and stuff, it controls everything but henbeck. nothing controls henbeck.
No, it takes a chemical, and like I said, it takes putting the pre-emergent down in August every year, mid to late August, early September, and just that's. Then when the seeds germinate, they kills the seeds as they're germinating. But it still, there's going to be, you're not going to get 100% of it dead.
Would black plastic get rid of it?
Well, it's going to also cause potentially fungus or mold problems in your soil.
Okay. They've got other things you put down, not plastic, but black material.
Yeah, landscape fabric.
Would that help it?
You could try it and see. I'm not really been real all that happy with using the...
Yeah, I know. You got to be so careful when you're tilling.
Right, exactly.
Then you got a big mess. So.
Right.
I appreciate. I didn't think there was anything for henbeck. I mean, it goes away after the heat. So.
Right, exactly. So it only likes cool weather. But the whole time... of the cool weather, like I said, it's dropping seed, and that seed is just going to lay there until things start cooling down at the end of, you know, August and through early September and mid-September. Then it's going to draw, you know, start germinating.
Right. Well, it's up already, so. It's in full bloom already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With this warm spring.
Right.
I control it in the fall with that cover crop pretty good.
Do you?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. Now let's head over to Joel's yard. Hi, Joel.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Question on house plants. Angel wing begonia. I don't know what variety it is, but it's got dark red underneath the leaves and dark green on top with some light green spots. I'm not sure if we're growing ours the right way. I'm starting to wonder. We got it a couple years ago as a gift. It was maybe 6 or 8 inches tall. And now it's getting close to 5 feet tall. And I have to keep putting new, taller stakes in the pot to trellis it up. Are these supposed to be grown vertically, or are they a hanging thing that comes down?
Now, this is a type of begonia?
Angel wing.
Oh, begonia. Angel wing begonia. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so generally they shouldn't get much taller than what they are. I'm a little bit surprised that they're, you know, they've gotten that tall. I've grown
it
for years.
It keeps growing. Crazy.
Yeah, off and on, but I've never really had any get beyond the 3 feet. So you really don't, I mean, vertical movement or vertical growth is how they grow. They don't grow horizontal at all.
Okay, so we're doing it the right way.
Right.
Keeping it growing
exactly.
Vertical, trellis it up on something, I guess.
Right.
Okay. All right, well, hopefully it'll stop growing pretty soon. Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we're doing it the right way then. Thank
yes.
you for your advice.
Sure.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Yeah, you should probably take a selfie with that and put it online and impress the other angel wing begonia growers. And let's see. Let's go over to Ed's yard. Hi, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing today?
Very good.
Yes, I got a quick question. It may be twofold, but let's start with the first. Is it too late to put pre-emergence down? And with this weather we've been having, have the seeds germinated? And is it too late to put it down?
Well, if you have a soil thermometer and your soil temperature is above 55, or you have some yellow forsythias in bloom in your neighborhood, then it's too basically we're past the time, because the forsythia has been, you know, that I've seen has been blooming for, you know, a couple weeks. So that means the seeds that you're trying to kill with a pre-emergent are already up and going.
So you say the condition of the forsythia is blooming in our neighborhood, then it's too late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the right time to do it. But if it's been in bloom for a while, then have to be real careful that it might be too late.
Okay. Okay. Simple enough. Thank you for your time, sir. God bless you.
Sure. My pleasure. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we have phone lines open. So if you've got questions about what's going on with your house plants or your plants in the outdoors, let's head over to Kurt's yard. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Very good.
I got a question. I thought I saw a grass company power rake in a yard. I thought it was a power rake machine, or it could have been an air rake. Is it too early or for either to do either one of those at this time or not? What's the best time to air rake and or power rake?
Well, for your cool season lawns, it is a good time. You can go ahead and do it. I would have done it a little bit earlier or done it in the fall, but that's okay to do it now. But if it's zoysia, I would not do it at this particular point because, like, the temperature tonight is supposed to be 32. So if you expose to the warm season grasses, the crowns, there could be some damage as a result of the temperatures. And we don't know if we're going to have another, you know, spell where it's going to get down in the low 30s. And because our weather is so goofy and so crazy.
So that you said the aerating and... You don't do both at the same time, right?
No, that's a little bit too much.
Okay, but you can do either one of those with on non-zoysia yards.
Right, exactly, like fescues and bluegrasses and things along that line.
Okay, I appreciate it, Mike. Have a good weekend.
Yes, thank you, and you do the very same thing. And now let's go over to Cheryl's yard. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, very good.
Good. I just have a few questions. You were talking about fertilizing daffodils. I wasn't sure what you fertilize it with.
It depends, you know, just a low analysis general fertilizer. You don't want the first number to be too high, so like a 10-5-5 or something along that line. Or if you want to go organic, you can use Milorganites, you know, something of that type.
Okay. My second question is, I have a bleeding heart, and it didn't do too well in part shade, part sun, but it's coming back this year, so I'm just wondering, is that a good place for it, or?
Yeah, bleeding hearts can, you know, they're really kind of woodland plants, and so consequently, I mean, they can take a shady location, but if the shade is created by large trees in close proximity, then that's where the problem comes in, is from the tree roots or the fact that underneath them might be a solid piece of wood, which is a result of a root system growing underneath them. So that's where the problem would come in. But they're tough and they're durable.
Okay. Another question is, my knockout rose bushes, they didn't do too well last year till the end of the season. I'm just wondering what I can do to help them come along.
Go ahead and prune them. Get them pruned as, you know, pretty soon. And then use rose food and feed them monthly. And you start feeding, and as soon as you start to see the new growth begin with the foliage.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
have a great day.
Yeah, in other words, you want to cut them back. And so it shows you it took them a while to acclimate, because there was some major damage to roses and a few other hydrangeas as well as a result of our goofy weather. So that's probably what happened to them.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
Sure. And it just took them a while to recover until they could get the, you know, back to normal. Let's go over to Jimmy's yard. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, my question is about a rose of Sharon tree, and it's time to cut it back. It's probably 7 foot tall in the center and shades off to 5 foot on each side. How should I cut that back?
I probably wouldn't cut more than like 2 feet off.
Okay. Okay, round it out, round it kind of like it is, right? It's rounded kind of
right
now. So just follow the contour I've got and go 2 feet.
Yeah, that would be fine. And, you know, just get it done before you start to see any kind of new growth at all. And
right. I'm going to do it right away. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that applies to anything that blooms in the summertime. You want to get it pruned in the springtime before the new growth begins, because it starts, even though you can't obviously see the flower buds, the foliage is coming out first, and then the flower buds will follow. But when the foliage does come out, that says the chemistry within the particular summer blooming plant is, you know, kind of changing to get ready to flower. So that's why you want to get it done as soon as possible. The weeds that you're going to control by putting a pre-emergent down while the forsythia is in bloom, and they have been blooming for a week or two, but I would say if you've got the pre-emergent already, I would go ahead and put it down, because the amount of weeds, the warm season annual weeds that the pre-emergent does control by the application in the springtime of the pre-emergent, are everything from spurge to ragweed to purslane to knotweed, lamb's quarter, black medic, carpet weed, crabgrass, barnyard grass, goosegrass, and it does help control the violets. Even though the violets can come back from, you know, root systems, they can also come back from seed, new plants, in other words. So that's why you want to get that pre-emergent down. And we're kind of on that cusp. Things, you know, with the weather and everything else, surged and then pulled back because the weather got cool. So if you go ahead and give it a try, especially if you had a problem with it.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any of those type of weeds. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
KMOX's Kegs and Eggs, presented by Budweiser, returns to 7th Street in downtown St. Louis before the home opener Thursday, April 4th. Tickets on sale now and include drinks from the Budweiser family of products, food from Sugar Fire, specialty drinks from the likes of Maker's Mark and Hornitos, a live broadcast, appearances from local celebrities, courtesy of Rally House, and so much more. Kegs and Eggs. Get your tickets now at KMOX.com/events.
It's Tom Ackerman for Ophthalmology Associates, the doctor's doctors, 314-966-5000 or online at youreyedoc.com.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
Founded in 1992 by eco-enthusiast Patrick Garrity, St. Louis Composting is the region's largest compost producer. They have 8 composting facilities that process over 1 million cubic yards of green material every year. And more than a third of it equals more than one-third of all the yard waste generated in St. Louis County. In addition to composting yard trimmings, they gather waste haulers stop by, all organic type stuff. They receive materials from landscapers and homeowners, and they transport all kinds of different organic, tons of organic food waste each week, 300 tons. Whoa! St. Louis Composting serves as a headquarters for the family companies of equal service providers. Their team is made up of St. Louis Composting, AgriCycle St. Louis, Total Organic Recycling in St. Louis, Organic Distribution in St. Louis, and Kansas City Composting in Lee's Summit and Belton. So this company is absolutely incredible what they do and how they've really saved us and made your yard all that much better. St. Louis Composting, stlcompost.com, 636-861-3344. And now let's go back to the phones. Let's head over to Scott's yard. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Real simple. When we got our driveway put in, we had like a sand rock thing. So my question is simple. With the grass kind of starting to come up, our guy said, yeah, that's going to happen. What do you put down to keep foliage from coming up? Yeah, especially grass, you know. What kind of product?
Basically, for the most part, you're going to have to wait until it comes up. And okay. I mean, you could go ahead and try if you wanted to, especially if it's like one of the warm season grasses, and put a pre-emergent down this time of year. That will help control it. But if it's not an annual grassy weed, if it's a perennial type weed, then you're going to have to go after it with a, like a Roundup type thing.
Okay. And that's a kind of, on something like this where, like I say, it's a sand rock driveway, if you will, instead of cement. So it's coming up all through all that stuff. So a Roundup would probably be the best thing to help keep it controlled, right?
Right. That will work very well.
Sounds great. You have a great show. I love listening to it, and I'll get off the phone so somebody else can call in and have a great weekend.
Well, thank you, and we do have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I'm glad, to see some of the blooming flowers, and it was kind of surprising how many of the Bradford pears that were really kind of damaged by fire blight and a couple other things, storm damage because of the narrowness of the branches, that there are still quite a few that are out there and doing pretty well. So they were very popular within the city and other area, you know, other besides the city of St. Louis, as street trees. And then they started having some major damage as a result of their physical structure. As I was talking about, narrowness of branches, that's what causes a lot of the storm damage as a result of that. This is a time of year where you want to get your soils prepared for any kind of, you know, things that you want to grow later on. This year, I'm going to be growing, historically, I've gotten quite a few plants. I'm still going to get some from the garden centers, but I'm going to go after growing things from seed just to kind of see. I've done it, you know, with sweet alyssum and things, you know, from seed every year, but I want to go and try some different things just to kind of see what I think about growing from seed. And I have some seed starter fertilizer that I've basically formulated myself as opposed to buying it, and we'll just kind of see how it works with it. Let's go now over to Chris's yard. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Hey, I just heard you talking about – I'm good. Thanks. I just heard you talking about Bradford pears, and I was trying to figure out. I thought I had heard from the Missouri Department of Conservation that I'm supposed to get rid of all of those. Are they're encouraging people to do that because of some they spread too much or they're too invasive?
Yeah, because
so
they
I just
drop.
Was curious.
Yeah, they drop a lot of seeds, and then the birds eat the seeds, and then the birds fly someplace. That's why you see so many of them along the highway on, you know, rocky bluffs and things along that way, you know, along that way. So it's not only, you know, the fire blight and the storm damage and things like that, but they produce very small pears, and but the birds love them, and they are very invasive from that standpoint.
Okay, so probably the best thing to do is just cut them down and pile them up and burn them. Get rid of all the...
That's
all
a fire pit okay. In the backyard sounds perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go over to Kathy's yard. Hi, Kathy.
1 minute, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. I just had three different companies come out to give me some bids on a huge silver maple that's probably eventually going to have to come down. It's about 30 years old. My question was, I've heard you tell numerous times not to put that sealer or pitch stuff or anything. The last tree company, and they're a good one, the bark, this tree is the circumference. I'm like 5'4". I couldn't wrap my arms around it. It's huge.
Right.
And the bark is, the trunk's about 8 feet tall, 8 feet before it starts branching. And the bark is coming off like in slabs of about 2.5 feet long. So he had, the last guy stood there and he said, you know, this stuff probably should be peeled off, all the stuff that's sort of bulging out and half falling off to, because insects and disease will get in there. And then he recommended the bark itself, the white part is kind of, it almost looks like a bear has been shredding it, you know. I don't have bears, but that's what it kind of, we live in Baldwin. We could have anything. and Baldwin's terrible. It kind of looks that way, like that, you know, that white bark stuff is just sort of pulling out. And he recommended getting some pitch tar in a spray can and spraying that all on that area that eventually says peel off all that, pull off all that bark that's sort of half coming off anyway, and then spray that stuff on there. And he says you'll have to do it like maybe yearly or bi-yearly because it won't last, you know.
Right.
He said eventually the tree is going to have to come down anyway, but the canopy is very full, lush. It's a huge tree. I mean, their bids were like $5,600 and above. So this is a massive tree. And I didn't know, I've heard you tell numerous times, don't bother with that stuff. But I didn't know if that applied to like a tree this size, you know, because it's not so much a limb or a branch being cut off in that part field. This is just the trunk itself.
Right. So basically, you know, it shows that the stuff is not really all that effective if you have to keep reapplying it.
Right.
So that's was my point is it's not very effective. The white stuff that you're seeing underneath the bark is actually, you know, the heartwood of the tree, the structural right. aspects of the tree, because right underneath the bark, that's where all the veins and the vascular system are. And right. so getting rid of any kind of loose bark makes good sense, but just to cosmetically spray it, I don't see the advantage to that.
Okay. I didn't know if it would, since it was such a massive area and the, you know, not just like I said, a small cut off with a limb or a branch, that that much area being exposed to the sun and, you know, insects. But then I also thought, well, the bark, the air will help it to heal and the sun and everything. So I didn't right. know if it was which direction to go on this because I'd like to wait at least a couple of years before I have to invest the price of a small car into taking it down. So, you know, that was my thought, what I could do to help it stay as healthy as it could be. The, most of them said about maybe a third of the tree is still, you know, the bark is still good on it. Its tree is still doing well in that section.
Right.
But the other two thirds of the tree is a rot. Just caused from the rain, you know, settling and holding into the upper, I guess it's like the crotch of the tree, and eventually causing it to rot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you'll see some strange stuff going in the crotch of branches and things along that line where just debris gathers. So, again, you could go ahead and cosmetically, it's kind of like makeup, let's put it that way, that you have to keep putting back on it. Just so you don't see the, let's say, the heartwood of the tree. And again, that's a structural part of the tree. So you're not really making that any more viable. It's a, you know, strictly it's cosmetic. That's what it really is. So you could do it if you want. And we've got another hour of the show. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after the news.
Ba 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 ba
ba. Yes, folks, welcome to the KMOX Garden Hotline second hour, which is the tip of the trowel. Special recognition on air for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me during this past week, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting. Now, though, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments, you can just give a call, and it will put you up on the call screener board, and then I'll be talking to you real soon. So this is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. As I said, it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trial goes out to everybody that's out there that I feel sorry for because I am one of those people that have really high allergies. And allergy season, as everybody's saying, is just around the corner. And so a tip of the trial goes out to you because I know, because I experience it, that it is really can be detrimental. When you go through three or four handkerchiefs some days, it's nuts. I can't put it any better. Another very important member of this team is Drew. He's today's producer, and he's pushing all the broadcasting buttons and coordinating while answering phones and everything else. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And after all kinds of different, you know, places, this past week I went down to the botanical garden, walked up through, went through the Climatron. I worked there for 5 years, 4 years in the English Woodland Garden, and the final year was in the Climatron. So I stepped into the Climatron. I was like, oh, wow, unreal. I mean, and my experience in the Climatron when in 1960, I was in the sixth grade in Ellisville Elementary, And we took a field trip down to the Climatron, and that was the first year it was open. So I have a history in the Climatron and a history, of course, by working in there, and then prior to that in the English Woodland Garden. I walked up the English Woodland Garden, and it's a little premature, but one thing I did notice when I was walking around in the Botanical Garden is a lot of the evergreen azaleas were not looking so evergreen. So this winter, even though it was pretty mild, it must have had some major, you know, temperatures that come sweeping across and sort of like sent those azaleas. I mean, they're probably going to go ahead and bloom anyway, but the foliage didn't really look good on them at all. So I was really a little bit shocked. And in the English Woodland Garden, I just kind of wandered the paths. They've added some new pathways to, you know, cut across. But there was a few people in there, but not nearly the amount of people that were going and doing other things. So it's a little premature. So the hellebores were out, and they were blooming. And but pretty much any of the other perennials that, you know, are sort of like hunkered down below ground, we're not really showing hardly any growth yet at all. So it was really kind of interesting. So that was kind of a good, fun thing to see. And so, again, the tip of the trowel goes out to all of us allergy people that are just like, oh, no. We love to see the springtime and everything else, but we know there's going to be other things as a result of that. But anyway, so 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go ahead and go over to Cliff's yard before we take a break. Hi, Cliff.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I have a couple of Mugo pines, maybe 15 years old, at the corner of a house. I was just wondering, do you ever trim or shape yours?
No, not at all. Well, I do because it's between our house and the sidewalk, and it overgrows the sidewalk, and I don't really like to have people have to duck underneath branches.
Mine is getting to the point of that happening, too, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, I just don't cut the tip off. I cut it all the way back to the major, you know, place where it's intersected with the branch that it's attached to, which is going to be generally a larger branch.
Oh, that's good advice. Yeah, thanks.
And so it's really, you know, the shape that it turned out to be is really not too bad, to be honest.
Well, they're just wonderful, wonderful shrubs, I think.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And we got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. So if you have, you know, things, oh, I wanted to make sure I don't think I said this. When you're fertilizing your spring flowering bulbs, whatever fertilizer you use, whatever the label rate is, just use one half the label rate. That's much better for for the bulbs, because you don't want to surge any kind of growth at all, because it's going to be more or less detrimental for your any year spring flowering bulbs. So the crocus are up and really looking good. And this is a time of year where as soon as your azaleas, if you do have azaleas or any spring flowering woody plant material, basically you want to fertilize just after they finish flowering. It's a better time to fertilize them rather than while they're in mid-bloom. So it's just that, so you really want to kind of keep that in mind. So again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we have some phone lines open, but we're headed to Mike's yard right now. And what's going on, Mike?
Hi, Mike. I have some relatively mature arborvitaes that are probably 40 to 50 years old that, ooh, I need to cut down. They're really big, probably 15 foot tall or more, and they're just on their last leg. And I want to replace them, but I want to make a natural fence, kind of the way these used to create. What can I use that I'd like something that's a little faster growing, if at all possible, but just looking for something to create a natural fence across the back of my yard.
And so you want something evergreen if you're trying to create a fence?
If possible, yes.
Yeah, to be honest with you, there's not too many evergreens, even broadleaf evergreens, that are very fast growing. So it's going to be a slow process to get it up to where you want. And especially if you have the arborvitae, for the amount of years that you've had, you've gotten used to the sort of the screening that they do. And you're just going to have to be patient. There's nothing that's really, like I said, either a conifer type thing like the arborvitae or a pine or something along that line, or the broadleaf evergreens like some of the hollies. They're just not that fast growing.
What about if I just wanted it to mainly provide privacy in the summertime and I'm okay with it losing its leaves in the fall and winter?
I would maybe think about how tall do you want them to get?
8 to 12 feet, probably.
I would say look at the viburnums. V-I-B-U-R-N-U-M. There's lots of different varieties, and maybe the leatherleaf viburnum, or maybe a combination of a couple different viburnums. The leatherleaf one is a broadleaf evergreen, but the other one, there's other varieties that are deciduous. So maybe a combination of the two.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. My pleasure. And now let's head over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, Mike.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good.
A friend of mine gave me some zinnia bulbs, I believe they're called.
Okay.
And I was kind of wondering when I never had them. I was wondering when I should plant them and how deep.
Whatever size the bulb is, you want to put it about twice the diameter of the bulb. You know, that's how deep you want to plant it. And I would say wait a little bit until the ground warms up a little bit more. So probably maybe mid-April, that's when I'd put them in there.
Mid-April, okay. How tall do they get?
It depends upon the variety. There's several different varieties.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Good luck. Yeah, the zinnias are pretty wild. And now let's head to Cindy's yard. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I have a lot of perennials that are coming up, and I want to share some and move some around. Can I do that now since they're up pretty high?
So you can see where they are and everything else? Yeah.
Yeah. I've got primrose and mums and dianthus, and they're all really, you know, they're all up pretty high. And I wanted to know if I could move them around or, you know, dig them and move them.
Do you have the area that you're moving them to already prepared soil-wise?
Well, I can before I do that.
Yeah.
I can prepare the soil.
Yeah, definitely prepare the soil ahead of time and then go ahead and move them.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, that's good to know. I'm anxious to get out there. Thank you so much for your service. Thank
sure. My pleasure. And now let's go over to Larry's yard. Hi, Larry.
Morning, Mike.
Hi.
How are you? I got a real easy question. I've got a vanilla strawberry hydrangea. I think that I usually cut it back about two-thirds in February. I left, you know, all the growth on from last year, and it's
right.
Still there. Am I too late to cut it back, or should I go ahead and cut it back ASAP?
Now, this is a summer-blooming variety?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, you can go ahead and prune it because there hasn't been any new growth. None of the buds, leaf buds or anything else has started to surge any growth. So this is the
correct
time when you want to prune.
Okay, and I may have asked you this before. I have a maple that is, the bark is all black. And it, you know, I mean, I know that's not normal. Is it dying? Does it sound like it's dying?
Not necessarily. If the bark is still adhering to the, you know, to the heartwood, in other words, to the structural aspects, then, you know, the color of the bark is just a result of the environment that it's in, more so than a problematic type thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then apparently I've never asked you that question before. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy spring.
Well, yes. In a few days, we will be there. Just as we start heading out to, you know, into spring, and then you're going to start to see your cool season lawn start to grow, just make sure that if you can't do it, and if it's a little bit too difficult to get, you know, to take your mower blades off and get your mower blades sharpened, because, you know, blades that are not sharp make the top of the blade, the grass blade that you're mowing, frayed, and that offers the opportunity for disease problems and things along that line. So keep that in mind. So we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back to the spring bulb circumstance. Make sure that you do not cut the spring bulbs after they finish flowering. Don't cut the foliage off until it's at least 50% brown. And during that period, after the flowering, the foliage builds up the strength for next year. So all spring flowering woodies fertilized with a proper fertilizer, be it an acid-loving iron sulfur for the evergreens, and maintain it. That helps maintain a healthy, colorful foliage. Deciduous type flowering shrubs apply formulas that are available for specific varieties. So in other words, rose food for roses, and keep that in mind. So if you don't, if go to your favorite garden center, they all have somewhat different type fertilizers. So just explain to them what they've got, what you've got, and they're going to give you the best fertilizer for your plant material. And the dogwoods, I've not seen any dogwoods in bloom yet, but they're going to be blooming real soon because the buds are starting to swell. Let's head over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Two quick questions, and you may have answered this one already. So I see the forsythia bushes in the area where I live are blooming already.
Right.
It's pretty early, but is it okay to put grass fertilizer down?
Are we talking about for a cool season lawn, fescue or bluegrass?
Yeah, it's fescue.
Okay. It's a little bit early because the plants are, basically, probably the best way to go about it is when you start to see the fescue blades elongating. So in other words, they're actively growing. I would wait until then to put the fertilizer down. Because if you put it down early before they're actively growing, then it may be leached down into the soil past the root system of your lawn, and then you're not getting the benefit of the fertilizer.
Okay. All right. And second question is, I have a dogwood tree that is about 30 years old.
Ooh.
And way up high in the top branch, last year, I cut off a branch. It overhangs my deck. The branch is about maybe a half inch in diameter. And I cut that off towards the end of the summer. And I noticed that it's like dripping. I thought it was sap, but it's like dripping water from that end of that branch that I cut off. I've never seen that before. Is that unusual, do you know, or?
No, it's really not. Now, where you cut it, you didn't leave any kind of stub, did you, more than like a quarter to a half inch?
No, I absolutely did not.
Okay.
I didn't cut it flush with the other branch, but
Yeah, you don't want to cut it flush for sure, but you don't want to leave, you know, a stub 4 or 6 inches or something like that. But what you're seeing coming out, that is a type of sap circumstance.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's all I needed. I appreciate the information.
Sure. My pleasure. And let's go ahead and take a break. And Sally and John will get to you right after the break's over.
Thank you.
Yes, folks, getting any cool season annuals? Well, the second week after you plant, then you should fertilize. Then after that, every 2 to 3 weeks for the best showing. And that's will apply, too, for any of the warm season, summertime annuals that you might purchase. And like a lady called, I don't know if it was in this hour or if it was last hour. She was wanting to know if she could go ahead and move some perennials that she had. One of them was mums. So remember to keep pinching back your mums about 25% down the stem. So even if you move them. Also realize and know that having birds in your landscape will help with insect control. So the advantage of that is truly great. If you're really not into taking care of plants, consider herbs either in the ground or in pots because they need minimal, if hardly any, fertilizer. And also they like it for minimal watering as well. So you're going to get, by minimizing your water and your fertilizer, you're going to get the best flavor and the best scents off your herbs. Let's now head over to Sally's yard. Hi, Sally.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to know, when is the best time to aerate and reseed the lawn?
It's all weather dependent, but aerate, and then you want to make sure that if you do aerate, it would be good if you could follow that with some composting and then put the seed down right after that.
Okay. So, in other words, I really have to wait until it warms up. It's too soon to do it now.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't know. I mean, it's going to get down to 32 tonight. So if you had done it last week and it had been a little bit warmer, the seed probably would not have germinated, but you definitely don't want the seed to germinate and then us have a cold snap. So probably if you just want kind of a calendar date, I would say wait for until mid-April or so.
Mid-April.
Would be a better time.
Okay. That's what I kind of thought. Thank you.
Sure. And now let's head over to John's yard. Hi, John.
Morning. Mike, my wife got some tulips yesterday. There's 6 in a pot. Yeah. When can I plant those?
The chances of them doing much in the... So you just want to plant them now and enjoy them out there, or are you going to keep them inside till they finish flowering?
Well, they got flowers on them.
Yeah, I know. So do you want to plant them outside while they are flowering, or are you just going to leave them inside till they finish flowering?
No, I'll plant them outside.
Okay. If you do that, you can enjoy them outside, but the chances of them coming back is going to be minimal.
I see.
So okay. I would say kind of leave them inside so you can enjoy the flowers, unless you want to put them in the ground someplace outside and go out and enjoy them.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yep. And Elda, how are you today? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm getting some serviceberry and pawpaw from Missouri Department of Conservation.
Ah.
I suspect they're bare root. Do I plant them in some protected place now and plant them in their regular location come fall? Or basically, how shall I take care of them?
Probably I would put them in a pot.
Okay.
With a potting mix, not potting soil. And I would sink that pot into a place in the garden with, a sunny location, and then I'd probably leave them in the pot for a year or two until you make sure that they're going to go ahead and be all right. But this makes it a little easier to care for them as far as if we have a drought circumstance or something along that line.
Okay, I'm getting like 10. Can I put more than one in a pot, or
yeah,
do I need to put one in each pot?
Yeah, let's say you got a 6-inch pot. You could probably put 3 in each 6-inch pot. But if you got a 10-inch pot, you could probably almost put all 10 of them in the same pot.
Okay. And my understanding is serviceberry ultimately needs kind of a limited sun environment, and pawpaw needs about full shade.
Well, pawpaw, they could handle a little bit more sun than the serviceberry can.
Oh, okay.
Serviceberry, when you see them growing naturally, they're always on the edge of woods. So they are getting some, some shade as a result of that. but also they're getting some better air circulation, and they're not having to compete with any large existing trees.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, it's always kind of fun to grow things, you know, from the conservation department. Now let's go over and see what's going on with Alice. Hi, Alice. Alice, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I talked to you a while back about the palms at church, and I think they are all pot-bound. Now, what do I transplant them in?
You want to get a pot that's no bigger than 2 inches larger than the existing pot.
Right.
And then use a potting mix, and that's about all you really have to do.
Okay, I don't need sand or anything?
No.
Okay, and I have one. Now, these are all sitting in west windows in the church, and they're all just beautiful, except for one. It's got a yellow cast. Why is it doing that?
That one probably is, for whatever reason, has been overwatered, even though you're putting the same amount of water. For whatever reason, it's absorbing the water, and that's what's giving it the yellowish cast.
Okay, because somebody else watered one of them several weeks in a row when the poinsettias were sitting there.
Ah.
And I find it's wet, the other three are dry.
Right. So it's an overwatering surface.
I was wondering if it was that or if it was rotting or what from what. But
yeah.
Now you answered my question and I was right. I'm not right very often.
Yeah, the other thing is it won't recover.
Is what?
Is it won't, the yellowish one will not recover and turn back to a green one.
Oh, it will or it won't come back?
It will not. It'll just kind of stay aesthetically with minimal amount of value, and then over time it'll just slowly biodegrade.
Oh, because it's growing. It's got new growth all the time. They've got spears coming out the center, all four of them.
Right. But the one that has a yellowish color, it may be growing, but is the growth that's coming out have the yellowish cast to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, so it's...
Okay, well, thank you. You've enlightened my day.
Sorry.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure. And let's go to Patrick's yard. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I got a couple questions, if I may. I got my fertilizer with crabgrass preventer. Now, put it down now. Wait.
I would say this is a time of year. Crabgrass preventer means it's going to have a pre-emergent in it. And because anything that would kill, a crabgrass as it's actively growing is going to also damage your grass. So it's a pre-emergent. So I would, maybe go ahead and put it down and see what happens, because this is the time of year where you want to put the pre-emergent down.
Okay, so you think I'm too late with this?
Probably not, but it's going to be somewhat a roll of the dice, but the cooler temperatures have kind of slowed the process down, so it might make it a little bit better as far as getting the crabgrass under control. Do you have a history of crabgrass in your lawn?
Just some, because I use it every year.
Oh, okay.
In the spring. So I guess I miss spots whenever I spread it, but no, I don't get a lot of it.
Okay.
And now
I'm assuming this is a granular type thing, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you do water it in?
I never have.
That might help to spread it on the surface of the soil.
Okay. And second question is, I bought pre-emergent for broadleaf weeds, and it's a concentrate. It's called Barricade.
As far as when you're going to use it?
When do I use it, yeah. Should I put the granular fertilizer with crabgrass preventer down first?
Yeah.
Or the other one?
Yeah, it's not going to make that much difference what you put out first, because you're kind of going to be putting them out at the same time.
Okay, but if I have to water
the granular fertilizer in, I wouldn't want to put the concentrate down for the pre-emergent for broadleaf weeds. I'd have to wait, wouldn't I?
Yeah, just not all that much time is going to make that much difference.
Okay. So really, it doesn't make any difference. I could do one or the other.
Right, exactly. First, and then not worry too much about it.
Okay, and now is the time.
Right. Yellow forsythia is in bloom, so this is the time when you want to go after those.
All right. That's all I got.
All right.
Appreciate your help. Thanks.
Sure. And let's go over to Ed's yard. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I've got some evergreen bushes around my house in the landscaping, and they're all got a lot of new growth on them. They need to be shaped up. Is this the time of year to do that?
Are they broadleaf evergreens, or are they things with needles, conifers?
No, they're needles, yes.
I would say just be real careful about pruning them. Generally, with the conifers, the needled ones, you want to prune them going into wintertime as opposed to when they're coming out. And with the new growth, if you cut them back too far, then you might prevent any kind of new needles coming off those branches that you cut. So probably what I would do is experiment with them a little bit and cut maybe half the twigs that you need that you want to cut and see what the result of that is.
But I should have done it last fall is what I should have done.
Late fall, early winter.
Okay, I thank you much for your help.
Sure. I mean, you could go ahead and just leave them and do it this upcoming winter, but that's what you might do. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, folks, it's a little bit early to be moving your houseplants out onto your deck or your patio or whatever. But just remember, when you do that, don't place them directly in the sun, even though they may be sun lovers. Because moving them from inside to outside into the direct sun, even though they were sitting in front of a window inside, that sun is way more intense without that window glass offering a buffering. So you're going to scald them, burn them. So don't do that at all. And I'm going to mention again the type of annual warm season weeds which are going to be germinating now that the yellow forsythia is in bloom. So there's a lot of them in the crabgrass and barnyard grass. Those are some of the most vicious ones, as well as the spurge. I have more spurge than any of the other type of weeds in my landscape. And I'm just, fooling with it. I'm not putting a pre-emergent down because there's certain things I just want to leave alone so I can kind of follow their growth habits and get your soils tested. And especially if and it's a separate test for different circumstances. So if you have a lawn area or you have a vegetable garden area or a perennial garden area, and especially if you've used the same fertilizer for extended periods of time, because you want to find out if you're getting extravagant levels of certain nutrients that may be harming your plant growth as opposed to anything else. And this is if you do have any kind of water feature, fountain or a water garden or anything like that, this is a good time to check them out and see if the pumps, need to be cleaned, because get them clean before you have to start using them again, because they are bad, bad news. And it's a little bit too early to be putting your summer bulbs out. So the tubers, you just want to kind of leave them alone, leave them in the garage, but also check them out and just see if there are any kind of softness to them, or they don't look good, or they don't smell good. So just kind of keep that in mind. Other things that you want to, take a look at is just, if you live in an area where there is wildlife, just take a walk around your landscape and see if there's anything that looks problematic as far as any kind of wildlife damage. chewing, you know, fraying of stems and things like that, you're better off to go ahead and prune those than leave them alone, because it's going to be trouble as far as diseases or invitations to insect problems. So make a nice cut, a clean cut, and do that. If you do have dogs, and remember, the dog urine has a high level of nitrogen, and that's why the spots where the dogs urinate will be burnt in your lawn area. Traps are the best thing if you start to see the mole activity. Mole activity is going to increase when soils warm up, because that's when earthworms start moving. And the main diet for the moles is the earthworms. So that's, you want to keep, you know, conscious of that. This is a time of year that if you do have some ornamental grasses, you want to cut the brown blades off. And if you want to have a dividing of that, so in other words, you dig up the whole clump and just chop it up into pieces, you want to do that after you've already cut, you know, cut them back. So keep that, you know, in mind. And first rose feeding is not going to be anytime soon, but you want to wait till the new growth on your roses is about 2 inches long, and that's when you want to do the first feeding of the of your roses and use a rose food. Ground covers can be mowed to get rid of all the leaf debris that may have collected, or just to kind of shape them up a little bit. And Easter lilies are going to be coming real soon. They are hardy varieties, so you can, after they finish flowering, go ahead and move them out into a sunny location. Hedges, evergreen and deciduous, can be pruned. I would probably wait for another few days before I did that. So the best thing to do is just to get out and enjoy the weather, because as I look out the windows here, it's getting bright and sunny, certainly better than it was this morning when I was taking my good gardening stroll. But just enjoy and head out to your favorite garden center, and just, you can't buy all the plants by any means. It may catch your eye, but it is spectacular to see the various type of plants that the garden centers do have. And like I said before, if you are going to put an insecticide, you know, in your lawn area for any kind of control, cut your lawn first before you put that down. So that will enable it to get down to the ground level first. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. See you next week.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I thank you much for your help.
Sure. I mean, you could go ahead and just leave them and do it this upcoming winter, but that's what you might do. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said, Mama said.
Yes, folks, it's a little bit early to be moving your houseplants out onto your deck or your patio or whatever. But just remember, when you do that, don't place them directly in the sun, even though they may be sun lovers. Because moving them from inside to outside into the direct sun, even though they were sitting in front of a window inside, that sun is way more intense without that window glass offering a buffering. So you're going to scald them, burn them. So don't do that at all. And I'm going to mention again the type of annual warm season weeds, which are going to be germinating now that the yellow forsythia is in bloom. So there's a lot of them in the crabgrass and barnyard grass. Those are some of the most vicious ones, as well as the spurge. I have more spurge than any of the other type of weeds in my landscape. And I'm just, you know, fooling with it. I'm not putting them pre-emergent down, because there's certain things I just want to leave alone so I can kind of follow their growth habits and get your soils tested. And especially if you've, and it's a separate test for different circumstances. So if you have a lawn area, or you have a vegetable garden area or a perennial garden area, and especially if you've used the same fertilizer for extended periods of time, because you want to find out if you're getting extravagant levels of certain nutrients that may be harming your plant growth as opposed to anything else. And this is a, you know, if you do have any kind of water feature, you know, fountain or water garden or anything like that, this is a good time to check them out and see if the pumps, you know, need to be cleaned, because get them clean before you have to start using them again, because they are bad, bad news. And it's a little bit too early to be putting your summer bulbs out. So the tubers, you just want to kind of leave them alone, leave them in the garage, but also check them out and just see if there are any kind of softness to them, or they don't look good, or they don't smell good. So just kind of keep that in mind. Other things that you want to, you know, take a look at is just, if you live in an area where there is wildlife, just take a walk around your landscape and see if there's anything that looks problematic as far as any kind of wildlife damage. Chewing, you know, fraying of stems and things like that, you're better off to go ahead and prune those than leave them alone, because it's going to be trouble as far as diseases or invitations to insect problems. So make a nice cut, a clean cut, and do that. If you do have dogs, and remember, the dog urine has a high level of nitrogen, and that's why the spots where the dogs urinate will be burnt in your lawn area. Traps are the best thing if you start to see the mole activity. Mole activity is going to increase when soils warm up, because that's when earthworms start moving. And the main diet for the moles is the earthworms. So that's, you want to keep, you know, conscious of that. This is a time of year that if you do have some ornamental grasses, you want to cut the brown blades off. And if you want to have a dividing of that, so in other words, you dig up the whole clump and just chop it up into pieces, you want to do that after you've already cut, you know, cut them back. So keep that, you know, in mind. And first rose feeding is not going to be anytime soon, but you want to wait till the new growth on your roses is about 2 inches long, and that's when you want to do the first feeding of the of your roses and use a rose food. Ground covers can be mowed to get rid of all the leaf debris that may have collected, or just to kind of shape them up a little bit. And Easter lilies are going to be coming real soon. They are hardy varieties, so you can, after they finish flowering, go ahead and move them out into a sunny location. Hedges, evergreen and deciduous, can be pruned. I would probably wait for another few days before I did that. So the best thing to do is just to get out and enjoy the weather, because as I look out the windows here, it's getting bright and sunny. Certainly better than it was this morning when I was taking my good gardening stroll. But just enjoy and head out to your favorite garden center. And just, you can't buy all the plants by any means. It may catch your eye, but it is spectacular to see the various type of plants that the garden centers do have. And like I said before, if you are going to put an insecticide, you know, in your lawn area for any kind of control, cut your lawn first before you put that down. So that will enable it to get down to the ground level first. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline. See you next week.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.